Good morning to everyone. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. The epistle for the second Sunday of Advent is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, as Christ also hath received you, unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Thus far the words of today's epistle, reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, art thou he who art to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, when we prepare for Christmas, we're preparing for the coming of Jesus. We want to remember what he came for. Why did he come in the first place? And you all could answer, well, to save us. Well, that's true. And that is the first reason, and the most important reason, that he came to the earth to save us. But it is very easy for us to forget that we needed to be saved, and that we still need to be saved, because each one of us is saved in our own turn, if we are saved at all. It is not a question of Jesus coming and doing a thing and then all the work is over with. No, each person lives a life on the face of planet Earth. And during that life, the work of the Savior is supposed to be applied to his soul. And so, for each individual, the work of salvation is still continuing as long as he is on the earth. For those who do not believe, there is a sense of uselessness for a Savior to come to the world. They will wonder, what's the use? What do we need that for? Why would he want to die on a cross? Why would he want to teach us right and wrong? The answer is because if we are not redeemed, we cannot see God, which is what we were created to do. A human creature is only fulfilled when he finally receives the beatific vision and sees God in heaven. Before that, he is completely unfulfilled. It is a lot like a beetle. A beetle starts out in the form of an egg laid by a mother beetle. Poor beetles, they have a beetle for their mother, right? Anyway, so the egg incubates and then hatches, and then you have a little larva beetle which has to grow and develop. And finally, when it becomes a full-fledged beetle, then it has reached its terminus, its end of its existence. A beetle is created in order to become a full-grown beetle. And if it gets exterminated, if the exterminator, the Orkin guy or whoever it is, he comes in and sprays, and the eggs get covered with the spray, then that beetle never comes to his fruition. He never comes to become a full-fledged beetle. And it is us who need to become full-fledged human beings. And we cannot do that without the Redeemer. It could never happen. It is a lot like with the doctrine of sanctifying grace. We know that when a baby, before it's baptized, it does not have sanctifying grace in its soul, and therefore it is not possible for the baby to go to heaven. It needs, first of all, a supernatural element which is absent when the baby is born. The supernatural element which enables that person, that child, enables it, it gives it the wherewithal to see the face of God. Without sanctifying grace, it cannot see God's face. And so we need God. We need a Savior. And in today's readings, we see that it is through the Jews that the Savior was brought to the world. The Jewish race, I repeat it again, some of you are confused, a little bit confused about this thing. It's a race, it's a family. Abraham was a grandfather of Jacob. Abraham had children. One was Isaac. He was the one of the free mother. And then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Jacob then had 12 children. 12 boys had 13 children, really. One was a girl. But the 12 boys became the patriarchs of 12 different tribes. 12 divisions, with Jacob being their common father and grandfather to all these tribes. And so it's the family of Jacob who are the Jews, because God gave the promises to Abraham that among his children would be the Savior. And then, of course, Adam, because everybody is his children, right? But then not everybody is Abraham's child in the order of flesh. But then not everybody is Isaac's son either. And then finally, not everybody is Jacob's child. But all those that are Jacob's children are the Jews. That's the family that we speak of when we mention the Jews. And it is God who determined that he would give the world the Savior through this particular family. He promised them. And that's what he did. It was from the tribe of Judah. Judah was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And so, from his tribe and from the children of David, who was also a member of the tribe of Judah, and Mary and Joseph were members of the tribe of Judah, of the children of David, so came the Savior into the world. And he was really a human being, and that is one of the reasons why we have a Christmas tree. The tree reminds us of Jesus' family tree. He came from a real family. And so he came to save, first of all, his own family, the Jews. He's their Savior, first and foremost. And yet, he was not to exclude those who are not Jews. And St. Paul mentions it in today's epistle, that the Gentiles will hope in this child, this son of David. He will be their Savior and their Messiah too. He's not come only for the Jews. He came for all of us. And he is therefore the universal Savior. Because there is no human being in the world who does not need the Savior, even though he refused to believe in the Catholic religion. He still needs it, and he still needs the Savior. And that is the one thing that the Church has to offer to the entire world. All those that are interested enough and willing to cooperate with the Savior, they may obtain, through that cooperation, eternal life and the vision of God. That is what it means to us. That is what having a Savior come to the world means to us. It means God has given us, who had no possibilities of ever becoming a full-fledged human being, by seeing the face of God, he gave us this possibility by giving us the Savior. Without the Savior, it could not happen. Period. With the Savior, we have every possibility, if we give our full cooperation to him, if we embrace the things that he taught and gave to his church, the Catholic Church. It's not just any old church. There's only one church who is the true carrier and vessel of the teachings of Christ and of his gifts. The gifts especially of the Mass and of the seven sacraments. And so when we give full cooperation and we do all we can, we have what it takes to enter heaven. We have at our disposal the key of eternal life. So Christmas is that important. Christmas is that essential to human happiness. Because it is the coming of our Redeemer, our Messiah, our Savior. He coming into the world in order to do that work which God required, the Father required of him, that we should receive the wherewithals to save our souls. So then during this season of Advent, let us do our best to appreciate what Christ did for us. We can never completely appreciate it as much as we ought to, because there is an infinite gift given to us. And yet, we can do our best to make it more than it was before, to improve it, and have a greater appreciation, so that when Christmas Day comes, we will truly have the joy that belongs to a faithful Christian who knows what Christmas is about and who appreciates it. There is nothing wrong with the giving of gifts and presents to each other at Christmas. Nothing wrong with having a Christmas tree and Christmas decorations. Those are good things. But they are not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we know and appreciate this baby Jesus, know what he is all about, know where he's from, know that we owe God and the Jewish families that brought him to us, and that we are grateful for him, and that we love this Savior, Jesus Christ, and that we are totally dedicated to him. This is what makes the joy of Christmas. Little children who don't understand these things yet, at least not very much, they will be happy with their Christmas presents. But later they grow up, and they have to learn it's not for presents from one another that we love Christmas, but for the presents that we receive from the Messiah, from the Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.